Translation, due to his causeless mercy upon all living entities within the universe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with his plenary extensions, appeared in the family of Maharaj Ikshvaku as the Lord of his internal potency, Sita. Under the order of his father, Maharaj Dasarath, he entered the forest and lived there for a considerable time with his wife and younger brother. Ravana, who was very materially powerful, had ten heads, my goodness, on his shoulders, committed a great offense against him, and was thus vanquished. Let me change to our cell phone here. His microphone not working so good. Can you still hear me? It's okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sound good.
Is it better?
Same. Both good. Both good.
Okay, yeah. All right. Okay. So I'm going to go back here because this is actually a series. Usually we see there's like, you know, one verse for each incarnation. But when it comes to Ram, I think there's actually three verses. So we go down here. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So that's today's verse. Due to his causeless mercy, the Lord incarnated and live in the forest. And Ravana, who was very powerful, was actually committed offense against the Lord and was eliminated. 24, the personality of Godhead, Ramachandra, being aggrieved for his distant, intimate friend, Sita, glanced over the city of the enemy, Ravana, with red-hot eyes like those of Hara, who wanted to burn the kingdom of heaven. The great ocean, trembling in fear, gave him his way because its family members, the aquatics like the sharks, snakes, and crocodile, were being burnt by the heat of the angry red-hot eyes of the Lord. When Ravana was engaged in the battle, the trunk of the elephant, which carried the king of heaven, Indra, broke in pieces, having collided with the chest of Ravana, and the scattered broken parts illuminated all directions. Ravana therefore felt proud of his prowess and began loitering in the midst of the fighting soldiers, thinking himself to be the conqueror of all directions. But his laughter, overtaken by joy, along with his very air of life, suddenly ceased with the tingling sound of the bow of Ramachandra, the personality of Godhead. So for Ram, it goes ahead and we'll talk about then Lord Krishna in 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 34. Yeah. So very, very, you know, great, what's the word, deference given to Rama's incarnation, three verses, and then Krishna's about six like that. So very, very prominent in Gaudiya Vaishnava worship, of course, is worship of Krishna, Rama, and the Sringadev. Yeah. So back to the purport then, and Srila Prabhupada says, yep. Okay, Lord Rama is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his brothers, namely Bharata, Lakshman, and Shatrughna, are his plenary expansions. Of course, the Sanskrit word here is Kala. Yeah. All his four brothers are Vishnu Tattva, and were never ordinary human beings. There are many unscrupulous and ignorant commentators on Ramayana who present the younger brothers of Lord Ramachandra as ordinary living entities. But here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the most authentic scripture on the science of Godhead, it is clearly stated that his brothers were his plenary expansions. Originally, Lord Ramachandra is the incarnation of Vasudev. Lakshman is the incarnation of Sankarsan. Bharata is the incarnation of Pradyumna. And Shatrughna is the incarnation of Aniruddha. Expansions of the personality of Godhead. Lakshmi Ji, Sita, is the internal potency of the Lord and is neither an ordinary woman nor the external potency incarnation of Durga. Durga is the external potency of the Lord, and she is associated with Lord Shiva. In Bhagavad Gita 4.7, the Lord appears, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.7, the Lord appears when there are discrepancies in the discharge of factual religion. Of course, that's yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. And glani means, dharma glani means discrepancies in religion, and bhavati means they're increasing. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Abhyutanam adharmasya. So then adharma is increasing. Lord Ramachandra also appeared under the same circumstances, accompanied by his brothers, who are expansions of the Lord's internal potency, and by Lakshmi Ji Sita Devi. So I remember reading, I thought it was the ninth canto, but I couldn't find it there. The Prabhupada says that sometimes, according to some authorities, Prabhupada says, that Ramachandra, and, you know, and these are other chakra view, but sometimes he says that they're actually the incarnations of a different chakra gata, like that, you know. So appear to be little charyas, make some at different times, different incarnations, but not ordinary human beings. Lord Ramachandra was ordered by his father, Dasarat, to leave home for the forest under awkward circumstances. And the Lord, as the ideal son of his father, carried out the order, even on the occasion of his being declared the king of Ayodhya. One of his younger brothers, Lakshmanji, desired to go with him, and so also his wife, Sitaji, desired to go with him. So Prabhupada is adding the G suffix here. The Lord agreed to both of them, and all together they entered the Dandakaranya forest to live there for 14 years. During their stay in the forest, there was some quarrel between Ramachandra and Ravan, and the latter kidnapped the Lord's wife, Sita. The quarrel ended in the vanquishing of the greatly powerful Ravan, along with all his kingdom and family. Sitaji, or Sita, is Lakshmiji, or the goddess of fortune, but she is never to be enjoyed by any living being. She is meant for being worshipped by the living being along with her husband, Sri Ramachandra. A materialistic man like Ravana does not understand this great truth, but on the contrary, he wants to snatch Sita Devi from the custody of Ram and thus incurs great miseries. The materialists who are after opulence and material prosperity may take lessons from the Ramayana that the policy of exploiting the nature of the Lord without acknowledging the supremacy of the Lord is the policy of Ravana. Ravana was very advanced materially, so much so that he can turn his kingdom, Lanka, into pure gold or full material wealth. But because he did not recognize the supremacy of Lord Ramachandra, he defied him by stealing his wife, Sita. Ravana was killed, and all his opulences and power were destroyed. Lord Ramachandra is a full incarnation with six opulences in full, and he is therefore mentioned in this verse as Kalesha, or master of all opulences. Jai. Ramachandra Bhagavan ki jai. Asma prasada sumuka kalaya kalesha yagzavaku vangsa avatirya guror nideshin tishtan vanam sadayitan uja avivesha yasmin viruja dasakandara artim charchat. So, again, the general perspective, of course, is that Lord Brahma is explaining Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, to Narada Muni. Narada Muni sees how powerful his father is, Lord Brahma, but also he sees him worshiping somebody else. So he says, you're so powerful, you hold the entire universe in your hand like a walnut, you know, like that. but I see you doing austerities to satisfy somebody else. So is there somebody above you? And then Lord Brahma says, you know, this is a very, very nice question. It's of great benefit to all living entities. So we're all indebted to you for asking this question. Yeah. And he starts to explain this. The Supreme Lord, you know, Supreme Lord, I'm not sure what name he gives him, Hoksaja, Chuta, like that, you know. And then all these different energies come from him. You know, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. And he gives some, I think, some details, but in the later part of this second canto, he'll give more and more details, and then Kapila will also present it in kind of more technical fashion like that. What is the universe and how does it work? And later the Virat Roop will be discussed with the Varna Ashram as a part of it. And the fifth canto we're studying now is the whole story of the forest of material enjoyment. And there's giving all these very, very personal analogies that allow us to appreciate the different aspects of the material world. You know? Because, the material world is physical. It has earth, water, fire, air, ether, smelling, tasting, like that. But in so many ways, it really actually is personal. You know? And, of course, science tries to eliminate all personality, you know, from the cosmology. But here it's saying, no, it is personal, and things are going on for personal reason. The fire you're using for so many purposes is a person, you know, like that. And then transportation is time, you know, time and space. These are all very personal. So on certain days, it becomes dangerous to even travel like that. You know, you can see so many travel accidents and so on. So ultimately, one time, there's also one, law professor, Vin DeLorean. And he's probably passed on now by now. Wasn't that old. You know? Anyway, he wrote a book called Custer Died for Your Sins. And he was defending this whole Native American Indian view of life and everything else like that, you know. One of the big things he defended was the use of mescaline as a religious implement. And his point was that, you know, the Catholic priests or different people are administering wine to boys who are 14, 15 years old, or 13, 18 years old. So basically he's giving an illegal intoxication to these people like that. And so you're criticizing us for taking mescaline like that, whereas it's a whole part of our culture and everything else like that, and from this we get opportunity to advance spiritually, everything else, you know. So he made some very, very interesting observations on the predominant Western culture and our culture. And he said if you told some Hopi or Navajo, you know, medicine man, shaman, about your creation myth, atoms, molecules, and all this kind of stuff, and the Big Bang Theory, you know, the guy would listen very calmly, and he would say, well, you know, it might just work if you added in one crow and one fox, like that. And so, you know, you've got to have some real personality. Where's this coming from, you know? The whole creation myth in the West is so tenuous, you know, the whole thing here. So all these different incarnations and so on, they come, you know, Ram, Krishna, Varaha, Narsingha, you know, Dhanvantari, you know, Bali Maharaj, Vamana, you know, and they try to give us some idea of real personal relationships, you know, and our natural personal relationship with Krishna, which is to try and engage Lakshmi in the service of the Lord. The more we engage Lakshmi, even money, you know, paper money, whatever it is, or credit cards, you know, the more we engage this with care and intention in Krishna's service, of course, the more she'll be happy. What does Lakshmi want to do? She wants to do as much service intensely, you know, and artistically as she can for Krishna. That's her desire. Yeah. So if we help her being engaged that way, then, of course, she'll give all her mercy to us. So the more you use your money for Krishna's service, the better your money will become. You don't need a lot, you know. You just need the right amount, you know, so on. But too much money is just as much as a problem and not enough. Of course, Ambarish can talk about this in his own experiences. We talked to him about having a lot of money is actually a curse. It's always tempting you in so many ways. Everybody wants to kidnap you and on like that, you know. Of course, there's stories of so many rich people who've, you know, suffered so much more than ordinary people. You know, So having the mercy of Lakshmi doesn't mean to have a lot of money necessarily. It means to have what you need. And also money is intelligent. You know, money is for certain purposes. You get a loan, it's supposed to be used for a certain purpose. You know? So if the money is intelligent and the money knows where it's supposed to go, it becomes so much easier to also do more intense, you know, organized service like that. So that's like one of the fundamental things, what lessons we're trying to learn from all the incarnations now is that we're just, you know, trying to engage Lakshmi in the service of Ram. You know? And when that happens, of course, everybody becomes very satisfied and it goes on expanding like that, you know, the pastimes and activities like that. You know? We were talking about this, that basically Vaikuntha is just like one big Disneyland. You know? It's all it is. It's an amusement park. You know? Prabhupada says there are flower airplanes, but he said there are no nasty businessmen, you know, going here and there with business deals, drinking alcohol and smoking cigarettes and looking for some romance with some secretary or somebody like that when they're traveling. You know? So he says the airplanes in Vaikuntha are simply on business pleasure trips. You know? So sometimes you go to these big amusement parks and you see that this new ride will be opening up in 3 months. This new, you know, restaurant will be opening up in 1 month. You know? So we can all go to Vaikuntha and help with the construction work. You know? And Lakshmi Narayan's, you know, new boating trip in Monterrey, in Mexico. It's a very nice city. But they have a very, very nice water course that goes right through the middle of the city. And it's like very, very developed, you know, with different kinds of bridges and little cement areas to accommodate this number of people and that number of people. And it's just little gardens and stuff and nice waterfalls, all built up, you know, artificially. But it's a good flow of water and it's actually quite amazing. It makes the whole city so nice and people who like have their houses right on it and stuff like that. So fortunate, yeah. So we're going to have probably have a boat festival there, Nauka Lila. And Nartam Das, he says, once you hear about the boating pastimes of Radha and Krishna, you'll want to hear about them again and again. So we've done a little of this, other people also have. But in these festivals, you have one little boat for the musicians, another boat for the deities, and go along and you can stop different places and have different programs and stuff like that. And it's very, very, you know, nice, satisfying festival. And, of course, the thing is it can be expanded. You know, next year you can add this, you can decorate the boat more, you know, do better advertising, have different programs here and there, you know. And in Mexico City, the Rath Yatra, they started it maybe like about, of course, many years in Guadalajara, but maybe just not too long ago, maybe like 7 years ago, they actually got a permission to do it in Mexico City. And it's really expanded now. You know, they have it on Saturday so that people come back the next day, you know, once they get a taste. They organize good events on the Sunday. And maybe like 150 police guys just to organize the parade like that. And they get a very nice place. And, of course, Jagannath looks very Aztec. So he fits right in there and stuff like that and so on. And everything just expanding like that, you know. So that's the spiritual world. Nothing gets lost, but things can be improved in so many ways, and everybody can contribute their particular, you know, nature, or opulence, ability. And again, you know, one screw in the machine, one screw, it doesn't work. You know? So everybody has, you know, just as important a contribution to make as anybody else. You know? And maybe we're subordinate potency, you know, but still with Lakshmi. Our service becomes magnified and multiplied so many times. You know? So it's kind of the only thing I was thinking with this purport is that, you know, Prabhupada is really emphasizing this point that Lord Ramachandra's associates, brothers, are not ordinary human beings like that. You know? And they also have their own particular pastimes and activities, and they fit in a certain way with the pastimes of the Lord like that. Prajumna, Aniruddha, Vasudeva, Shankarshan. Another point is, of course, that Lakshmi is meant to be used, you know, for the service of Krishna, to be engaged that way. Every year at the Academy Awards, you know, the best actor and best actress are always won by the same two people, like that. But best screenplay, best lighting, best special effects, you know, best supporting actor, best supporting actress, you know. There's so many other positions that are necessary, and those are naturally our positions. You know? Whereas to be the hero and heroine, that's naturally Radha and Krishna. You know? And so when we find some way to actually improve the scenery, improve the lighting, improve the story, you know, like that, you know, then it makes the whole thing much more delightful. So in Vrindavan, near Kama, you know, because Kamyavan, and there's a bridge, what's it called, Setubandha, across to Alanka, out in the fields there. And there's an Ashokvan, you know, where Hanuman gave the message to Sita. And small, you know, yogi guy there with the, you know, the maintaining it, and maybe some society collecting a little money for it locally from yatris, you know. But there's unlimited monkeys there. There's no particular explanation, you know. So the idea is that this is actually where Ram Lila takes place. Like, you know, see, Radharani decides, okay, today we're going to play Ramachandra pastimes. And then my brother, you know, Sridham, he's going to be Ravana, and he's going to kidnap me and hide me someplace. And Krishna, you and all the cowherd boys who can be monkeys, you have to find where I am, like that. So, you know? Okay, so Krishna can't find out where Radharani is. Sridham does a good job. The Radharani is getting a little bored and wants to go back and play with Krishna. But then Sridham won't let her go. Ha, 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 I'm Ravana, I kidnapped you. Well, I want no. Ha, ha, ha. And so it's so much fun, you know, that Radha and Krishna and everybody else don't want to finish it. They don't want to stop it. You know? They just want to go on forever. It's so much fun playing like this. So they expand themselves as, you know, Sita and Ram eternally. And they go on with the pastimes again and again, and refining them, adjusting them. You know. Normally, Jai and Vijay don't fall down from the spiritual world every Divya Yuga, whatever it is. You know. Prabhupada says that normally, Hiranyakasipu and Hiranyaksha, and then we can say Ravana and Kumbhakarna, are demons. They're jiva souls with problems. But he said, this particular time, Jai and Vijay fell down like that and so on. Yeah. So it's very instructive. That's the whole point. That all these pastimes and Lila avatars and Shakti Abhash avatars, you know, are showing us, you know, these different lessons and stuff like that. You know. Other than that, the pastimes, without the development of cosmology, you know, and the development of spiritual life, you know, then all these pastimes are just, you know, what's the difference between this and Spider-Man or something else, you know? Our first temple president, Bhaktadas, he said he was at the University of California in San Diego, and he was a communist, you know, and preaching some kind of idea, you know. Bhaktadas had some idea about, you know, sharing the wealth and different things like that, some famous communist writers, even Che Guevara and people like that. So one devotee was selling books, and he started talking to him, and the devotee was just defeating him on one point after another. And so finally he said to himself, my gosh, if I have any real integrity, you know, I just got to buy the guy's book and take a look at it more seriously. So he said he got Prabhupada's book, and he said he read many books, like yoga books, philosophy books, this kind of stuff. And he said always it would come down to the point where it's now you get to enjoy. We did all these austerities, those austerities, these austerities, but now you get to enjoy. You know? So he was reading Prabhupada's books, and something was bothering him. You know, and finally he realized what it was, that Prabhupada never came to the point where now you get to enjoy. All there was one, you know, he was explaining more and more complicated, more and more mature, you know, sacrifices that we had to do for Krishna, or we could do for Krishna, you know. So that was, he just realized this was different than everybody else. Prabhupada was not a fruity worker. Prabhupada was a devotee. And try and inspire us, you know, by attracting us in the beginning, by so many means, attracting us in the beginning. But after that, it becomes more regulated, you know, to focus on our heart and removing the contamination from the heart. That, you know. So all these different incarnations, the Bhagavatam, you know, get such a wonderful presentation, such a wonderful opportunity to associate with them and to purify the heart. And once the heart is purified, you know, nasochati nakangshati, brahma-bhuta prasanatma, nasochati nakangshati, Samasarvesha bhuteshu majjajim labhyate param. That after this purification goes on because of devotional service, you know, then we can actually begin real devotional service. In the beginning, it's just a pious activity, and it's transcendentally aimed, which is purifying us of our contamination. Then once we have that, then we can actually begin to cultivate ruchi, taste. Some people like beets, some people like carrots, some like Ram Lila, some like Krishna Lila. You know? In the Ram Lila, some like the Virya, the pastimes of honor and war and battle. And somebody else may like something else. You know? So in ruchi, we can actually begin to selectively cultivate the taste in our service that we find like satisfying and pleasing like that. Then it goes on in higher levels like that. Again, Krishna and saints describe the same development. You know? But Rupa Goswami gives us an incredible systematic description of all these different levels of devotional service. Not all of them, but you know, all the way up to the liberation from the material world, you know, Dasya Ras, you know, higher rasas of Vrindavan like that. But there's no limit. We can go on expanding this and helping Lakshmiji, you know, offer better and better service, you know, to Ramachandra through herself and through her expansions like that. Beyond that, of course, the pastimes of Ram, I think everybody probably has heard them so much, you know. We kind of like, because of our name, we're kind of conscious of this. And the Ramayans we've seen, first of all, Kamala Subramanian, she did a very, very big Mahabharata, which is really incredible. It's really very, very good. And then after that, she tried to do Srimad Bhagavatam and Ramayana. And it's just like, you know, many times it happens like that. The other books are not the quality of your first one. There was a certain kind of passion and everything else in the first one, you know. So her Ramayana is okay, you know. And we send, when we were in Russia, Vashishta had a full, from Gita Press, he had a full word-by-word Valmiki Ramayana. Of course, that was very nice, being able to read it and see the word-by-word meanings and stuff. I think it's out of print now. I think the devotees asked about doing the Mahabharata. It was Sudama, a drama, and Prabhupada said, yes, you can use a translation by, I forgot the person's name now, but I found it at the University of California, and it was okay. It was actually, it was kind of like literal to the point of being boring sometimes, you know, so on. Then Maharaj Bhakti Bikash and Purna Pragna, they both somehow or other either paid or whatever, had one person, a Hindi speaker, I think, whatever it was, you know, Hindi speaker, Sanskrit, he then translated the Ramayana, and then Maharaj did his version, and Purna Pragna Prabhu did his version based upon the same root, you know, translation. And you can see Purna Pragna is much more aimed towards like you know, entertainment and stuff for junior, for what is it called, juveniles, teenagers. And Bhakti Vikash Mahara is aiming much more towards focusing on the philosophy and explaining it. But they're not very big. Actually, I've read Purna Pragna maybe 5 times. It's not too big. Nice. And of course, Krishna Dharma, that's right on the Vedabase.com. You go to Vedabase.com and that Ramayana and Mahabharata are both online like that. You know? And his is incredible. And in many cases, my experience is that people are tell the Leela, and then they say, well, now it's time to have a philosophy lesson. So it doesn't seem to go with the flow at all. It's just like, now we're going to squeeze in or, you know, this kind of thing. But in Krishna Dharma's presentation, the philosophy just comes out of it. My experience just comes out of, like, the natural expression of what's happening. Well, why is this happening? What's this going on like that? Who are we? And so that just comes out very naturally. So I very much like his. And beyond that, there is so many translations here and there, you know, of Ramayana, you know. And within Prabhupada's books, there's these two chapters, the first canto, third chapter, and this chapter here, where there's actually a very nice description. Maybe 2 verses, 3 verses of Ramachandra's pastimes and their significance. And of course, in the 9th canto, after Maharaj Yudhisthira receives instructions from Sankarshan, something like that. Yeah. Anyway, about Varnashram. Then there's a section then after that on Varnashram. Well, that's the 7th canto, yeah. 9th canto is where actually the stories of Ramachandra are. I think this is occurring because These are, ninth canto is Ahriman-Anu. And coming down from Ahriman-Anu, we have the dynasty of the sun and the dynasty of the moon. So the dynasty of the moon, the sun, Ramachandra appears. His pastimes are there in two chapters. And very nice summary, a very heroic description of the heroic activities, very nicely, all the pastimes. So Prabhupada's purports and texts are so concentrated. You've really got to be a very, very fine, subtle character to appreciate all the depth like that. So those two chapters make a very, very nice summary of the whole Ramayana. It's about it, I guess, in terms of different Ramayans. The movies, of course, there's all different movies available. There is a cartoon Ramayana that was done in cooperation between Japan and India, which is very famous, older. There are two versions. One, they tried to shorten it and make it available for regular movies, and the narration and everything else is not good, And the other one, the original one, is actually pretty good. But philosophically, everything else, it may not be so strong. That one's aimed at the fact that Japan, got into this whole war thing and had, of course, created a self-destruction beyond belief, a result of that. And so the movie, the Ramayana movie, cartoon movie, has a lot of comments about, like, war is evil and all these kind of things like that and so on. And in the end, Sita goes back to the earth and Ram goes back to the heavens. So not a clear idea. Who Ram is, the supreme personality of Godhead, as Prabhupada says. And then there's also, you can find it online, in some, I think it's, is it Telugu? The language is, I think it has subtitles, some of them, but it's a very, very good cartoon version. And the art and the presentation of the personality aspect of it is just incredible. It's incredible. But Chetan Desai, was the director, Chetan Desai. And so with Prabhupada's help, then we see the whole purpose. We see the mercy that Ramachandra is coming to try and instruct everybody about, especially Grihastha Ashram. And showing people this is the best you're going to get. And Sita wasn't happy really all the time, and Ram wasn't happy, And so don't expect. We're not born to be happy. We're born to do austerities. We're born to do penance and austerities. And we do those, I'm telling myself, talking to myself right now too, because my mind is always there in that enjoying spirit, And of course, maybe you don't want to enjoy gross things, Your mind isn't, like I say, Westerners, I think probably everybody's mind is thinking about gross enjoyment and or stimulated for that and imagining this, imagining that, and enhancing it, But we're not born for that purpose. And as we become more purified, then we start to get into all kinds of subtle, gratification. And then, of course, all the incarnations, the different levels of the Bhagavatam give us stimulation, to also be able to get free from these subtle contaminations. Maharaj Pariksit gave up everything, his horse, his house, his family, his wife, but his clothes, but he was still attached to his body. He was still conscious of it. So reading Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to come to such an ecstasy in chanting, cooperation, that we can maintain this position of being detached from the body, which is actually our natural situation. Now it seems like such a big struggle for me to keep some kind of higher consciousness, But as we go on like this, then it actually becomes a natural situation like that. So it's kind of all the idea we have. There's so many details about the Ramayana, and different Ramayans have, different, what can you say, because they're all, almost always, there are summaries, So you read different ones like that, you get different extracts like that. And then there's the Adhyatma Ramayana in the Brahmanda Purana. There's the story of Panchamukha Hanuman, very, very famous picture in someplace else. And then Tulsidas did a Ramayana, which is in Hindi. It's actually kind of like archaic Hindi. It was difficult to understand. It was quite popular. Ramcharitmanas. And Prabhupada says, directly one time he says, this is not actually Ramayana, it is poet's imagination. And it appears the Prabhupada not so disturbed. There may be some mistakes in it, But in general, Prabhupada, likes the humor of it in general, but it's not, not exactly accurate like that. So it's kind of all I, had to kind of comment here. The main thrust of purpose purport, again, is how we can engage, help Lakshmi engage in the service of Ram. So any questions or comments like that?
Haribol, Haribol.
Bhakti Rakshak Sri Jamar said Ram Leela is Krishna Leela in reverse. Ravana kidnaps Sita. Krishna kidnaps 16,000 Sitas.
Well, I missed the first part. Can you go through it again?
Ravana kidnaps Sita in Ram Leela. In Krishna Leela, Krishna kidnaps 16,000 Lakshmis.
Well, what is it? He recovered them, right? We were already kidnapped by Bulmasura, right? That's what we're thinking of.
What is the relation of Sita and Bhumi?
Oh my goodness, yeah.
She comes from the earth, and at the end of the Ramayana, she returns down.
Yeah, well, the earth. Then Bhumi receives her. So definitely the Ramayana, what I've seen in the presentation, is definitely two different people. And then Sita is being received on a lotus throne and being taken into the earth. Like
Sita.
Lila Avatar. You know, whereas Bhumi and so on are more like what's the word? You know, they're what's the word? Virat Rup Shaktiabesh. Not Shaktiabesh. What's the word? Vibhutimat. Vibhutimat sattva, positions and so on like that. And specific energetic incarnations, or else like demigods, and goddesses empowered to carry on specific functions like that. Ramachandra, of course, also appeared. He appeared to do some pleasing work for the demigods. But he also appeared to give us his lessons for Grihasthas. Which is a Ramachandra's incarnation. It's special for training the Grihasthas and their ashram and their duty. And the husband has to protect his wife, even if it may be difficult at times, and give a good lesson to the rascals about that. But even destroying Ravana's entire family. Like that. So, very rich, rich pastime, and of course, attractive for thousands and what is it now? This is a million years. This is Dwapara Treta Yuga. So we're talking maybe at least 1 million years. This story has been popular. I think Spider-Man is going to disappear within one breath of.
Reminder to all of you: don't forget that when I unmute everybody, we can hear your background. So be sure to be on your mute button so that we don't hear unnecessary background noise. Maharaj's voice is a little soft.
Yeah.
Or his connection soft.
Maharaj, you mentioned you were sharing with us you're still having the strong tendency to want to enjoy that enjoying spirit. Even with many years of following the process of sadhana bhakti. And I'll sort of share with you also, I had the feeling when you first mentioned that you sort of drew an analogy of Vaikuntha being like Disneyland. And my first thought was, wow, I really like that. What a great, great analogy. But then I was thinking, but my thought, my vision of Disneyland is a place you go into, and as soon as you get through the gate, you're thinking, wow, look at all these different things I can enjoy. Which ride should I go on first? How shall I indulge myself? And then I was thinking that actually Vaikuntha isn't a place we go to enjoy at all. It's a place where we go to serve, and of course that is the greatest ecstasy. But anyway, I was just sharing that my initial reaction to what you said was yes, a Vaikuntha like Disneyland, a place to go and enjoy. But it really isn't. It's a place of the greatest enjoyment, but it's a place a perfect place to go and serve.
Yeah, it's an amusement park, but it's all for Radhe and Jaya Jaya Madhava Dayate, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. It's all constructing different kinds of new rides and new kinds of things for Lakshmi and Narayan. It's an amusement park, but they're the enjoyers. We were watching these big cruise boats. You see the word Rathiatra in Seattle? Mm-hmm. It's right on the seafront there, at a certain place there. It's nice, you know. But you see these big, like, cruise boats going out, and they go up, of course, into the Alaskan waters and stuff, and there's quite a few of them, you know. So you see them going out and looking at them, and we're starting to fantasize, wow, you know, what if, you know, Radha and Krishna are on board, you know, with thousands of beautiful princesses, and they have all these, you know, swimming pools and tennis courts and every evening different shows and stuff like that, you know. But if it was all four, it is a pleasure tour, a little boat, Noka Lila, you know, for Radha and Krishna and all their friends. And, of course, what is it then? What if, you know, what if Lakshmi and Narayan have a dinner party and the brahmacharis come? What kind of fun is that? You know? So there are, Mama says, there are husbands and wives in Vaikuntha. And they like to serve that way. You know, the wife likes to be with her husband, and then they then enhance the, you know, the fun of Lakshmi and Narayan in terms of more couples and stuff like that, you know, so on. So that's the whole thing. Is without coming to the spontaneous platform, it's really difficult to really appreciate it. You know, trying to imitate it or this or that. And of course, by more Lord Chaitanya's mercy, we do get a little taste of it, you know. We can go ahead, you know, and restrain our mind and get us in the right framework where we can get more of a taste, and then finally it becomes, and it's very profound. You know? So that's it's all for their pleasure, and this reawakening our natural spontaneous position, and the idea of austerity or a separate enjoyment. Our enjoyment then becomes an integral part of that. You know, we have to be happy. We have to be having a good time. I mean, how is Vishnu going to be happy in Vaikuntha if we're miserable? Somebody's sitting around the party or, you know, no. You know. But I was, before I was a devotee, one guy was telling me one of his friends went to Disneyland on a LSD, you know, it's kind of, why not go to Disneyland on LSD? And after about 3 hours, suddenly he had this incredible panic attack, you know, because he was looking around and he realized that nobody was smiling. He looked more and more. All of Disneyland, the place of enjoyment, he said there wasn't a single person he saw anywhere that was actually smiling. You know? Some kind of superficial enjoyment. Then after a while, all the rides seemed the same, you know, so on. But with Lakshmi and Narayan, they're always demanding new fun that's really substantial. So then we really, like you're saying, we're really happy, you know, coming up with things that which we didn't even know we could do, you know, discovering different skills and abilities like that.
Hari Bol.
I'm sorry, somebody else?
I just want to add something. Bidog Dhamadava Das, Dandavats Maharaj. So, Srila Prabhupada, he also says that Tulsidas's Ramacharitmanas is the only classical literature in Hindi. And Tulsidas, he was a world-class poet, and the Ramacharitmanas is beautiful poetry, and it is sung in temples all over India because of this. And it's also very popular and widely read in India. It's probably in the top 10 books read in the world. You know, we'd include the Bible, the Bhagavad Gita, you know, maybe Mao's book, you know, or, you know, it's a very popular book in India. And you're also correct that it's not a Ramayana, it's a devotional poem in glorification of the Ramayana. And yes, there are discrepancies where Tulsi takes liberties to change and add stories.
Yeah.
So one example is Ravan showed up at Sita's Swayambara and failed to lift Shiva's bow, which never happened. Yeah. And so Prabhupada in the purport, he's stating strongly that, you know, Ram's brothers are Vishnu Tattva, and we need to be aware that there's unauthorized interpretations.
Other Puranas also have, like, you know, some different Ramayans with different stories, and some of them also, it's just like in the Tamasic Puranas, they have stories about, you know, Vishnu and stuff like that, which are, you know, how Durga is defeating Vishnu or something like that. So for a certain class of people. So I know other Vedic literatures are also even there what to speak of, like, you know, in Thailand there's some Ramayans which are totally mixed in with the local culture. You know, so this diplomat, this person, that person, you know.
Yeah, the Ramayana made it to Thailand. Yeah, they have classical Ramayana drama. The Russians actually had a ballet of the Ramayana. There's reliefs all the way to Java, you know, of the Ramayana. The Brahmins made it to Southeast Asia.
Yeah. The Vishayan Empire, no? The Vishayan.
Right.
Yeah, they went all the way out to, Bali. To Bali, of course, has big, you know, big Ramayana and stuff like that, so on. Yeah. Very popular story. You know,
oh, no, it's one of the most beautiful stories ever written.
Yeah.
And in South India, they call Valmiki's Ramayana Ramayana as it is. I think that, you know, they got that from Prabhupada. You know? So, Ramananda Sagar captured the whole of India with his serialized Ramayana. But he was drawing from Kamban and Kartik Das and all these other, you know, Bengali and Tamil Ramayans and also Tulsi. So it was a hodgepodge.
Kipri. The thing is, too, is that I see the Mahabharata. I can't remember Ramayana or not, but the Mahabharata, when I see it in the English, that's boring, you know, the dialogues just go on forever. But the Hindi speakers who tell me to say this, it's not like that. They say these are, it's really like, you know, not good translations of actually the actual Hindi, and the actual Hindi is actually quite nice, you know. So I have a suspicion that, you know, that the, you know, even what we're seeing of Ramananda Sagar and stuff like that is, you know, the Hindi is probably a little bit different and stuff like that, even stronger, you know.
Right.
But anyway, it's very. I've waited so many times. One time I picked up one hitchhiker from our farm up in Northern California, Honsudada had and Charu had. And it's about like a 2.5 hour drive. This guy was in the road, like a nice guy. So I drive him down alone. So I just picked him up and got him and said, "Hi, what are you doing? Who are you? This and that. What's your name?" And I started telling the story of the Ramayana. And it was just 2.5 hours without a break. And the guy was just listening the whole time. And we got down and we both realized that it would just like this. You know, the guy was amazed. He said, "Wow, this incredible guy." But it's just entrancing. This is wonderful. You know, that kind of thing you never forget after that. Well, I never knew India was like that. You know, such a cultural asset.
It's interesting. If you try to tell someone some philosophy, sometimes the defenses go up. But if you tell them story, Leela, the child comes out, the defense goes down.
Jainanda would always tell people, "Say, I don't know, but my old granddaddy used to say." And then Prabhupada right there, you know. Actually, ladies say the same thing. "I don't know, but my granny used to say." And by the way, you know, this is a story, and this old person got it. So many ways to get the ideas across. And we may not see the result right away, but I think so many things, like Narendra Modi, this new prime minister, I've heard devotees who know him and stuff like that. See, so many things. For example, he's the first prime minister to ever invite anybody, devotees, to his inauguration banquet. And as far as I know, it's maybe at least few or something persons have a regular full vegetarian, inauguration dinner. I asked that Gaurav Sundar, there's no onion and garlic, and he said, "Well, come on, that's kind of pushing it." But he said, "No chicken, anything else, no alcohol." You know? And also the Pope, you know, I really think this talking to people wherever you go, trying to remain pure, innocent people come, and they're a little patient, and you get some ideas across. And it may not seem like, you know, much, you know, but it's just to keep, Papa says it's like grass, right? It keeps growing, and you can't eliminate the grass, you know, it's hard, you know. So then what happens is eventually it pushes over the whole big building like that. So I guess I should go now because of God, this education symposium is working out very well. Actually, anybody who wants to join it, it's jayarama.us. That's our webpage, jayarama.us/NAS, North American Symposium, .htm. That's the name of the file. And then even now, at the last minute here, you could go ahead and register. And then we're going to have tonight, Sesha Ram Giridhar, who's Executive Secretary of Education, and Shama Sundar, who's the president here, and we're all going to talk about the broad perspective on education and how it's developing. You know, this whole primary school here is really prototype, and there's just no doubt about it. It could be like the real basis for a Montessori-type school system. You know, every place we go, there's just so much devotees just they want to do this. They want to have their own primary schools. They want to have their own preschools, but they don't know how to do it exactly, and you know, so on. Little impetus, little motivation, financial help, you know. And then Pranadas, who's like the person that's working all the curriculum now for the local education, incredible curriculum in Sanskrit and English and stuff like that. And even the sciences now, starting off with Krishna conscious science from preschool. So he gave us one statistic, you know, very good statistic, that all over the world, in all these developed countries, people spend more money on preschools than they do on university education. You know? So there's such a tremendous opportunity for economically and everything else for preaching in these areas like that. And then tomorrow it'll be like 45 minutes each, philosophy of education, Shastric education. Then Radhika will talk about education, higher schools, like how you can go to a university, how you can become a professor, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it exists. Many devotees are already there in those areas. His mother will talk about homeschooling. There'll be a break for lunch. And after lunch, Mother Irmala will give the broad perspective on developing the school systems in ISKCON, primary schools. And then after that, Mother Shubhra will talk about the Goswami Academy that they're developing here. And Kartamasha will come on with about the Govardhan Academy up in Sharanagati in Vancouver. And Vishnubhar will come on about the Bhaktivedanta Academy down in Alachua. And with the Synergy Academy, which we talk a little bit, which is very new, Synergy School, is Hari Vilas. And that's as far as we know, that's just about it, along with the one in Dallas, all in North America. And there's five school primary schools we have like that. And they've all at different levels of development. They all have different experiences. And basically, they're all saying, just stick with it, and it grows, you know. And then Sesha will finish off then, summarizing everything. And then Sunday morning, we're going to try and go over everything and try and get some representatives, you know, for the ministry to go ahead and continue with this work of collecting information, coordinating people's efforts. You know, so the Catholics and the Jews both have national accreditation agencies. And every state in the Union, probably speaking as far as I know, accepts Jewish and Catholic schools as accredited schools where you can go to and be accredited by the government and go ahead then to higher education and stuff like that. And they have their own accreditation agencies, which are totally accepted and approved like that. So there's no reason why we can't start like an association of Dharmic schools, you know. And within 3 years, be accrediting our own schools and teaching things the way we want to teach it. Yeah. So it's happening. So thank you all very much, and please bless
Hare
us
Krishna
that we don't
Maharaj,
die.
Sorry, Krishna Maharaj, please, I ask two questions.
Oh okay.
Sorry. Well, I think you said that giant Vijay don't fall down every time, that Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu are jivas with problems. And usually in class, we hear that demons are pure devotees that are hand-selected to be in the Leela. So how do jivas with problems get to be in the Leela?
It's actually, I remember it was in when Purport and Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada makes that comment that normally, you know, it's not the giant falling down on some kind of nanosecond, you know, and a deviation from their job, but probably normally they are real demons and stuff like that, so on. Because for example, you got somebody, you know, you go to work, okay, and there's some guy there who has pictures of Jesus Christ in his cubicle, and he has a program of spitting on the picture, and you know, says, I hate you. Yeah. And the guy is just absorbed this way. He's, you know, joins hate organizations to God, you know. I mean, you can hate your family, you can hate the weather, you can hate your government, but to hate God, it's kind of like, you know, yeah, he's a kind of weird guy, you know. So if people will only approach Krishna in that humor, then Krishna's so kind, he'll reciprocate, you know. So Hiranyakasipu wasn't going to approach God any other way. So in the end, he reciprocated, and he became the greatest enemy the most irritating, agitating. And I think we can see that in Prabhupada, right? And it seems like sometimes Prabhupada is just personally being the most irritating, frustrating old fellow, religious fellow that anybody could ever run across. And so that for years afterwards, people, they never forget Swamiji, you know? And then years later, they finally come to the conclusion, yeah, he was right, you know? And so that's what I understand. I mean, these people are, it's in the Bible. And there was the guy there, the angel, it was the one like that. The last one, all the stuff is there, was, whatever, anyway. The very last one with all the future, you know, the horrible futures and stuff were there.
Revelation.
Yeah, you got it, yeah. And so one angel comes to one guy and says, hey, you used to be a great devotee, you know, but now you're neither a great devotee or a great demon. You are lukewarm like the spew from my mouth. That's what he's telling him. At least be one or the other. At least hate God or love him, but don't marginalize him to some drool, you know, like that and so on. You know? So that's what I understand. These demons, you know, usually, it's almost always, otherwise Krishna, why is Krishna going to fight with them, deal with them, you know? But it's, they're ready, Kaliya, all these people, not ordinary people.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, that's something to think about. Then the other thing is, I went to bhati.org, and I clicked on the archive, and all I can find are, like, newsletters with certain dates on them, and there's maybe two other or four other articles besides that. And what I was looking for was your Srimad Bhagavatam in 8 minutes, and I was wondering
Bhati is for our external organizations, not that well organized. We're really trying to work on it. But the internal one is jayarama.us. That's our internal one. Yeah. And if you go to that page, it says Hello, News, Archives, Peru. So you click on the archives, and then there's a little explanation. And then after that, you go inside the archives, and everything is there. And just, Vaisheshika said one time, I saw him in the temple. He said, Maharaj, you owe me an apology or something. What is that? He said, I found your archives yesterday, and I said, what is that? I just couldn't stop going through everything. And it's just a big dump of stuff. You know, we have, like, PowerPoint shows. We were doing it one time and stuff. And this, you know, but in the beginning, there's an explanation of what's, like, you know, some of the major groups and the Padapadma and stuff like that, so on. But, yeah, that's where it is. The Bhakti we're working on, that's for Neos. We've got somebody lined up. Because it has to be a formal, dry, you know, type thing. It's for universities and stuff. But jayarama.us is totally
The classical literature, that's all good. And those Sanskrit books, those are really good, too. I was enjoying the website, but I was just looking for something particular.
Yeah, we also did the thing I started including, you know, Sherlock Holmes' classical literature and stuff, and our Indologists. It's a big argument because the classical literature means just for high-class people. And they were admitting, no, that really the books that come across classical literature are usually those who are classic for the masses. And that's what really determines something being a classic is something that the mass of people, like Shakespeare's plays and everything else, and all these things, you know, are really, you know. It's a nice area for preaching. A lot of, because good books, why not? You read good books from around the world, and at the same time you find so many things that, you know, that you can just say, hey, this is, you know, this is the truth. Sun Wukong, the last thing to finish off here, Journey to the West, Monkey and Piggy. There's so many nice points, you know, about Chinese culture and our culture and stuff like that. So if you know Oriental people and stuff like that, you can just point out, we didn't know you were like that. Yeah. And then you can take them to more, you know, subtle things in terms of the character and stuff. Okay, I should go, though. Otherwise, the whole world will collapse on my head with a few minutes here getting our audio
and
visual
set up. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.